Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Yud Bet. We're going to be reading about Rechavam's taking over of the kingdom of Malchut Yisrael away from Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. And the Perek begins, Vayelech Rechavam Shechem, Ki Shechem Bako Yisrael Lehamlichoto. So Bnei Yisrael went to Shechem, not Yerushalayim, in order to coronate Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. They went to Shechem perhaps as a sign of impending rebellion and not being willing to further support the great spendings of the monarchy as was established in Yerushalayim and the foreign wives and all of their temples that they had there. But Shechem, which was also the crossroads for the north, south, and then the east-west roads, provided a lot of access. Rabbi Israel points out the historical elements of Shechem as the place of splitting brotherhoods, recalling the idea of the sale of Yosef, which took place in Dotan, but was originally slotted in Shechem. And so Bnei Israel are in Shechem, and Rechavam needs to go to them in order to have the coronation take place. Already we have a shifting in the balance of power. The king is not deciding for the people. The people are determining the king's policy. The king is going to the people. V'hi kishmo Yerovam ben Nevat, v'hu odenu b'mitzrayim asher barach mipnei ha-melech Shlomo, v'yesh Yerovam ben Mitzrayim. And when Yerovam ben Nevat heard that now was the time for the coronation of Rechavam and that they needed to go to Shechem, and he was still in Mitzrayim at the time because he ran away from Shlomo and he went to Shishak, and now we're expecting Yerovam to get up and take some action, and now is the time, according to the Nevoah, that he's supposed to become the king. And the Pasuk builds everything up and then lets us down with Vayeshev Yerovam b'Mitzrayim. Yerovam stays in Mitzrayim. And we would expect it for Yerovam to be taking charge. Instead, he is staying put in Mitzrayim. Yerovam, the name Yerovam, is pointed out on the play of words in Rabbi Israel's book, Yarev Am, he fights for the people, he's a man for the people. And we see in Pasuk Gimel, Vayishtechu Vayikre'u Lo, Vayavo Yerovam B'chol Kehal Yisrael, Vaydabru El Rechavam Lemor. So the messengers go, the entourage goes to pick up Rechavam from Mitzrayim and bring him to Bnei Yisrael. And Yerovam is the spokesperson on behalf of the people who already spoke out on behalf of the people previously before he ran away. And now he is again being called in from, so to speak, the exile and being brought in to speak to Rechavam. And this is what they said, Avicha hiksha et olenu ve'ata ata hakel me'avodat avicha hakasha u'me'olo hakaved asher natan aleinu v'na'avdeka. Your father was very harsh with us, and he gave us a very hard time. We had to pay a lot of taxes, and we had to work very hard for your father. And now we're asking you to lighten up the load, and if you do so, we will be loyal to you. We will worship, we will serve you. Vayomer alehem, and he told them, Lichu od shelosha yamim, v'shuvu elai, v'yelichu ha'am. Instead of answering the people on the spot, one way or the other, without taking decisive action, Rechavam perhaps displays some sense of some sort of weakness in telling them to come back after 3 days. And the nation did leave, but in the meantime, those 3 days allows for more festering, as Rabbi Israel points out, amongst the malcontents. And where does Rechavam go? V'yivaat ha-melech Rechavam et ha-zekenim asher hayu omdim et p'nei Shlomo aviv b'hiyoto chai lemor, ech atem no'atzim l'hashiv et ha'am hazeh davar. So he first goes to the advisors, the elders that were serving at the time of Shlomo, his father, when he was still alive, and he asked them, how would you advise me to respond to these people, to the nation? Interestingly enough, we always presume that Shlomo was the smartest of all men, and he didn't need advisory staff, but apparently even the smartest of all men was smart enough to know that he needs advisors. No one should be taking decisions without bouncing them off someone else. וידברו אליו למור, אם היום תהיה עבד לעם הזה ועבדתם ועניתם ודיברת עליהם דברים טובים והיו לך עבדים כל הימים. And they told him, saying, if today you are willing to be the servant of these people and to respond, be responsive to them and speak to them nicely and give them what they are looking for, then they will serve you forever. Whereas basically concede to their demands and allow them to have lower taxes. ויעזוב את עצת הזקנים אשר יעצוהו, ויבאס את הילדים אשר גדלו איתו אשר העומדים לפניו. And he decided not to listen to the advice of the elders. And he didn't have another plan yet, but then he decided to find new advice with the younger generation that grew up together with him, that were now serving him. So he had replaced the old guard with a new guard, and now he is looking to the people who grew up together with him, perhaps those who are in the same socioeconomic status, they're not really from the people, of the people, for the people, but rather of the monarchy and the palace and in the luxury of the monarchy. ויאמר אליהם, מה אתם נועצים ונשיב דבר את העם הזה, אשר דברו אליי למור, הקל מן העול אשר נתן אביך עלינו. And he told them, what do you advise me to respond to these people that spoke to me saying, lighten up our load that your father had given on to us. So here we see that they're really not advisors of the people because they didn't even know what it was that the people were demanding. It was that Rechavam needed to tell them what it is that was the national debate, as opposed to the elders of Shlomo, who didn't need elaboration. וידברו אליו הילדים אשר גדלו איתו למור, כה תאמר לעם הזה אשר דברו אליך למור, אביך הכביד את עולנו, ואתה הקל מעלינו, כה תדבר עליהם, קטוני עבה ממותני אבי. And the youngsters, here using a derogatory sense, they're probably not actually young teenagers, but they're probably younger people than the elders of Shlomo. The ones who grew up together with him said, this is what you should tell these people who are looking to lighten up the load of the that your father gave them and they're looking to have an easier time. You should tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist, than my father's loins. Meaning that if you thought things were bad until now, you must wait to see what I have in store for you. ועתה אבי העמיס עליכם עול כבד ואני אוסיף על עוליכם. אבי יסר אתכם בשוטים ואני אייסר אתכם בעקרבים. And he says, my father, he gave you a heavy load, and I'm going to increase that load. My father chastised you with whips. I'm going to chastise you with akrabim, either akrabim or scorpions, or it's a multi-whipped whip, meaning you have a number of different strands coming off of one handle of the whip. ויבוא ירובעם וכל העם אל רחבעם ביום השלישי, כאשר דיבר המלך אמור, שובו אליי ביום השלישי. And Yerovam, the representative of the people for the tax reduction, and all of the people came to Rechavam on the third day, just like the king said to come back to him on the third day. So until now, he's still the king. They're still subservient, still listening, coming back on the third day. They're showing that they are still serving the king. Vayan hamelech et ha'am kasha, vayazov et atzat hazkenim asher ya'atzuhu. And the king responded to them harshly, and he abandoned the advice of the elders that were, they gave him. וידבר אליהם כעסת הילדים למור. אבי יכביד את עולכם, ואני אוסיף על עולכם. אבי יסר אתכם בשוטים, ואני אייסר אתכם בעקרבים. And certainly, again, the text responds that he listened to the advice of the youngsters, saying that his father gave them a hard load, he's going to increase it, his father chastise them with whips, and he's going to chastise them with multiple strand whips. ולא שמע המלך אל העם, or scorpions. ולא שמע המלך אל העם, כי הייתה סיבה מעם אדוני למען הקים את דברו, שדיבר אדוני ביד החיה השילוני, אל ירובעם בן נבט. And the king didn't listen to the people. We already saw that he didn't respond to their petition. But this, there was a larger reason in hand, because God wanted to upkeep, to confirm, to establish what it is that he promised to Yerovam ben Nevat through the Navi of Achiah Shiloni, who came from Shiloh, and that's why the king wasn't going to listen to the sound advice of the elders. Interestingly enough, again, Yerovam in this entire picture is until now still being passive, representing the people, not taking the kingship. And these have echoes to the times of Shaul not taking his kingship right away and David not taking his kingship right away. And so it might be some positive nuance in Yerovam. ויעקו יישראל כי לא שמע המלך עליהם, וישיבו העם את המלך דבר למור, מה לנו חלק בדוד, ולא נחלה בבן ישי, לאוהליך ישראל. אתה ראה ביתך דוד, וילך ישראל לאוהליו. And all of the nation saw that the king wasn't being responsive, not listening. So all of the nation responded back to the king, what portion do we have with David? And what inheritance, what portion do we have with the son of Yishai, meaning the house of David? Le'olalecha Yisrael, everyone go home, go back to your tents. No one pay attention, no one listen to what the king is going to say. And now, let's see what's going to happen with the house of David. And Bnei Yisrael went back to their tents. This rally cry of the rebellion, as we saw a similar rally cry with Sheba ben Bichri in the times of David. So till here we have with Rechavam. And basically, the people have now turned their backs on Malchut Bet David. Bnei Yisrael hayoshvim be'arei Yehuda, v'yimloch aleihem Rechavam. But the Bnei Yisrael who were living in Yehuda, Rechavam became the king for them. It possibly could be because in Arei Yehuda they had a lighter tax load. If we go back to the Nitzavim in the beginning of Melachim, we had pointed out that geographically it seemed to be Yehuda was the tax exempt zone, and so therefore even if they are going to be taxed now, their taxation is less felt than the people who have been paying all through the years. And Rechavam decided that he's going to flex that monarchical muscle and send out Adoram, who was the Adoniram, that was the person in charge of the taxes. And Bnei Yisrael had enough of him. They stoned him until he was dead. And Rechavam had to make a speedy getaway on his Merkavah, his chariot, to get back to Yerushalayim to safety, because now he was still in the region of Shechem. Vayifshi'u Yisrael bebet David ad hayom hazeh. And until this very day, again, we're talking about Miyahu writing after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash already. So until this very day, Bnei Yisrael rebelled against the Malchut of Beit David, and we are going to have a split in the kingdom. And then, after this point, Bnei Yisrael understood, heard, that Yerovam was back, and he was representing the people in this negotiations. So they called him, and they are the ones who instituted him as the king over all of Yisrael. There was no one following Malchut Bet David except for Shevet Yehuda, which we some include also Shevet Binyamin. Vayavor Rechavam Yerushalayim, vayakel et kol Bet Yehuda ve'et Shevet Binyamin, 180,000 bachur, עושה מלחמה להילחם מבית ישראל, להשיב את המלוכה לרחבעם בן שלמה. And Rechavam went to Yerushalayim, and he mobilized his forces, and he got together from Yehuda and Binyamin, hence the two Shvatim, 180,000 fighters ready to go to war in order to battle with the rest of Am Yisrael to return the kingship to Rechavam ben Shlomo. V'hi divar ha'elohim el Shemaya ish ha'elohim emor. And God spoke to the Navi Shemaya and telling him, emor Rechavam ben Shlomo melech Yehuda ve'al kol bet Yehuda u'binyamin ve'yater ha'am lemor. Ko amar Adonai, lo ta'alu ve'lo tilachamun im ha'chakem b'nei Yisrael, shuvu ish lebeto, ki me'itin iya ha'davar hazeh. Ve'ishmu et dvar Adonai, ve'yashuvu lalechet kedvar Adonai. The Nevoah comes and tells to tell Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, the king of Yehuda, now a new title, and no longer Melech Yisrael, not over one nation, but rather over Melech Yehuda. And rather, it should also tell the rest of the people of Yehuda and the rest of the people of Benjamin and the rest of the nation, not designating them as Yisrael or to Yerovam Melech Yisrael, but rather this was in regards to the Malchut of Yehuda. And God saying, do not go to battle with your fellow brethren of Am Yisrael, lo ta'alu v'lo tilachamu, reminiscent of the command that Moshe was recorded as giving to the Ma'apilim, leading to their destruction when they failed to listen to the command. And they instead now, Bnei Yisrael is being also called upon not to fight in a civil war. Everyone should go back home because this is all my doing, says God. This is my master plan. Yerovam ben Nevat is supposed to be the king. They listened, they obeyed what God had to say, which is absolutely mind-boggling. Right now, the Rechavam is losing 10 of the tribes as being part of his kingdom. And he's listening to the Nevoah when he has a standing army of 180,000 people ready to do battle on his behalf. And he decides that he's going to fold up camp and listened to the Nevuah, and they returned just like Hashem said. So we have now the establishment of the kingdom. Yerovaam apparently also understood that this was not the time to mobilize forces against Yehuda to finish taking over the kingdom, because the Nevuah of Achiah was that he wasn't going to take over the entirety of the kingdom. And so he has fulfilled the word of Achiah. Ve'yiben Yerovaam et Shechem behar Ephraim ve'yeshev ba. Ve'yetzeh misham ve'yiben et Penuel. And just like we mentioned, when Yerovaam got the Nevuah from Achiah, he's going to be wherever you want, you can go be the king. Yerovaam begins in Shechem, where all of this began, in Har Ephraim. He's there. It could be that he himself was, we said he was Ephrati, which could be that he's from Ephraim. Ephrati could also mean an important person, it could mean a Levi. Here, possibly that because he's going to Har Ephraim, that's his hometown. And afterwards, he leaves there and he goes to Penuel. And he establishes there a place for himself. Yerovaam tells himself, he thinks. When someone tells his heart, it means he thinks. Now, the kingship, the kingdom, is going to go back to the house of David. Why? If these people have to all the time go for the Shalosh Regalim and have to go bring their korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, then everyone is going to go back to their master, meaning Rechavam, the king of Yehuda, and they're going to end up killing me. And they're going to go back to being loyal to Rechavam. I can't have that happen. Vayuvaatz HaMelech, Vayash Ne'egle Zahav. So now Rechavam HaMelech, he's the one who takes counsel. The whole perek is people taking counsel. And here it doesn't say with whom he's taking the counsel, but he has taken counsel, Yerovaam, and he's made the decision that he's going to make two golden calves. Sounds very familiar, making golden calves. Vayomer elahem, Rav lachem me'alot Yerushalayim, hine Elohecha Yisrael ashehelucha meretz Mitzrayim. And he tells them, enough going up to Yerushalayim, you don't need to do that. These are your gods, Yisrael, who brought you out of Mitzrayim. Again, very reminiscent of the Egel HaZahav in the Midbar. As Rabbi Israel points out in his book, all of these parallels of him establishing the Egel HaZahav, and as we see in the next couple of psukim, we're going to see other innovations and religious reforms that Yerovaam is introducing. We'll be placing Yerovaam in the position of Aharon, and we'll see shortly what that is meant to perhaps parallel. He had made two golden calves. One he put in Bet-El, one in Dan. Aside from being north and south geographically, also Bet-El is historically a place of divine revelation. We have by Yaakov Bet-El. And Dan, we read at the end of Sefer Shoftim, was a place where Micha had his Pesel. Perhaps there was also some sense of worship in Dan. But he had Hatat. And this ended up being a sin for the Jewish people, and they went to follow the golden calves, even if they had to go all the way till Dan. And Yerovaam, in addition to that, made places where people can worship other than the two Egle HaZahav, meaning he went back to the old system of Bamot, of being able to have their personal barbecues in the backyard. You don't have to come to Beit HaMikdash to bring korbanot. He made regular people kohanim, who were not from Bnei Levi. And this, as we read in Devarei HaYamim, caused a great exodus of all of the kohanim leviim, or many kohanim leviim, from the northern kingdom to Yehuda, because they can't make a living anymore. If everyone can be kohen levi, so then the ma'asot and trumot are now no longer reserved for them. And therefore, the only place they can go where they have a secured stipend is in Malchut Yehuda. Similarly, Yerovaam, as a man who is representing of the people, for the people, by the people, is hereby breaking the elite monopoly on the worship of God and making everything more egalitarian for people to able to join the ranks of people who service God. Yas Yerovaam Chag. בחודש השמיני, בחמישה עשר יום לחודש, כחג אשר ביהודה, ויעל על המזבח. כן עשה בבית אל, לזבח לעגלים אשר עשה. והעמיד בבית אל את כהני הבמות, Asher Asa. And Yerovam made a holiday on the 8th month, on the 15th day, just like the holiday in Yehuda, meaning Sukkot substitute. And he brought onto the Mizbeach, and that's what he did in Bet El, and he brought the Korbanot to the Agalim, that he made the Egel HaZahav, that he had in Bet El. And in Bet El, he also established Kohanim, of the Kohane Bamot that he had made, he brought them to be servicing the Korbanot in Bet El. The question is asked whether or not these Egle HaZahav have a status of Avodah Zarah. Some say that they do, some say that they were really just representatives of the Shekhinah, and it wasn't that they were using them as replacements for God, but rather as a improper means of worshiping God. They brought, as Rabbi Israel brings in the book, someone who might want to have to slaughter properly a pig, which is not kosher, doesn't make the food kosher. So to hear, even though they didn't abandon God, perhaps they adopted a form which is absolutely improper and in violation of the Seder Debrot, but they may not have been abandoning God as the divine force in the world and in their belief in monotheism. And rather, it could be that, as the Abarbanel explained, that really, it's not really that the Egle HaZahav were meant to be gods, but rather they were ornaments, they were symbols of their of the kingdom of Yerovam, of the monarchy, because he himself was from Yosef, and Moshe Rabbeinu had blessed them, Bechor Shoro Hadarlo, so maybe they used these as symbols of the regal monarchy, and instead of being used as gods, they are really something to do with the monarchy. ויעל על המזבח אשר עשה בבית אל בחמישה עשר יום בחודש השמיני בחודש אשר בדם ליבו ויעז חג לבני ישראל ויעל על המזבח להקטיר. And on this Mizbeach that he made in Bet El on the 15th day of the 8th month, on a month that he made up on his, from out of his own head, whether he introduced a leap year month, thereby trying to confuse the calendars between the two kingdoms, or whether or not he simply decided the 8th month out of thin air, he made a holiday for the Bnei Yisrael, and he brought the he went up to bring offering on the Mizbeach. Again, he is himself, meaning Yerovam, is bringing the sacrifice or the Ketoret, which is really a job that we have reminiscence of, echoes of Aharon's job on Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippurim to bring a Ketoret. And so we have this idea that he's trying to show that just like Aharon had to substitute means of serving God and reaching God when Moshe Rabbeinu was absent, so too now that we have this absence, that in our new kingdom we need to have some sort of new religious worship because we're no longer going to have a monopoly in the Beit HaMikdash, so too we're going to have establishing the ideas of the Egel HaZahav like Aharon did, and Aharon bringing someone like Aharon bringing the Korbanot. And we're going to break monopolies. We no longer have a single place of worship. We no longer have an elite class bringing sacrifices and being in the service of God. We're going to have all the people be participatory and be able to have an option to do so in different geographic locations. And therefore, the ideas of central worship that were existent in the Beit HaMikdash are no longer valid. And this might have already been cued in by the women that Shlomo was married to, who already introduced different gods and different temples for people to worship in, even in Yerushalayim. And therefore, this was not seen necessarily as such a great break from what was found already in Malchut Yehuda and throughout the kingdom at the time. And therefore, Yerovam ascends to the throne as a person who is representative for the people, and he is establishing his kingdom in compliance with the Nevuah of Achiyah.